Good morning, Saints. Welcome once again. The weeks are going by quicker and quicker, getting closer to Christmas, and of course, coming into a time of the year where there's a lot of stress and a lot of rushing around. No, I'm not. I'm just saying that's what is happening around us, that it is a time of year where, if you're not careful, you can get caught up in the stress of Christmas and hustle and bustle. And so this morning I have a word for us that will hopefully help us to understand how to always stay in the rest and at peace. Now, for 2 weeks, if you've been here, we've been once again looking at God's word concerning our righteousness. And if you recall last week, I said that this isn't just another message, you know, you pull out of a bag, okay, this week it's on this, next week it's on that. No, it's not just another message. The message of righteousness is the message, okay? We need to understand that. It is the message. It is the gospel, for therein the righteousness of God is revealed. So we need to look at the message of righteousness as the message of the gospel. It is the message of the good news. It is, from my last week, I said it is the very root, it is the very foundation that our Christian life is built upon, is righteousness. Now, if your foundation or anything in your life is weak, then that which you build upon it will also be weak. Right? Am I not correct? If you have a weak foundation, you can put the most beautiful, elaborate building on top of it, and it is weak. Why? Because the foundation is weak. And so we know, above all things, it is vitally important to our Christian life that we be founded on the rock of offense, the rock that many people take offense at. They stumble over it because they're still trying to earn their own righteousness by keeping the law, by doing good. So it's very important, because your life is only as strong as the foundation that it's built upon. Can I hear an amen? Amen. As long as you don't get tested, as long as the storms don't come your way, sure, you can stand. But bring a storm into your life if you have not got a strong foundation. And the foundation of righteousness is what I'm talking about. That's our strength. Your house is going to fall. And so it's very important that we spend time building our foundation, making sure that our foundation is strong. And we looked at, over the last couple of weeks, where Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 6, that we are not to seek after the things the world seeks after, what to eat, what to wear, where we're going to live, all the things that the world seeks after. And the Bible tells us, your Father, he's not unaware. He's not so spiritual that he doesn't know you need food to eat for your body. He's not unaware of the fact that maybe there's things in your home that are falling apart. And, you know, like, he's very much aware. He's very practical. He knows what's going on in your life in every area. So don't worry about that. It's like sometimes we get the idea that if we don't bring this little problem before the Lord, he's not going to be aware of it. No. He's aware of it long before you are. And he wants to fix it. So don't worry. God knows exactly what you're up against. Your Heavenly Father knows what you have need of. But he says, don't seek after the things that you have need of, but seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, or his way of being and doing right, and all these things that the world is seeking after will be added to you. Added. I like that. Added. Sounds like it's we do this and God just heaps whatever it is we need upon us. Now, before I go on this morning to teach what the Lord has given me for today, I just want to go back and I want to say or reiterate one of the truths that I had spoken last week. And that was this. God's We sometimes wonder, or we get mixed up with, why did Jesus come to die for our sins? Why did he become unrighteous? He became our sin that we might become his righteousness. And I said this, that the main purpose, or let's put it this way, God's highest purpose, because there's many purposes for God wanting us to be righteous, but his highest purpose for making you and I as righteous as Jesus, his own son, or as Jesus himself, is really so that he can have a relationship with us, that he can have that closeness. He has always longed to be close to his children, to his family, to those that he created. Just like no different than you long to have a good relationship with your child. Now, if you were to think about your own relationship with your child, what is the most important thing with your child and yourself? Well, of course it's relationship. If that relationship is not there, really, what have you got? So your relationship with your children is extremely important. Now, we know that we could never go to heaven without righteousness. I think something on the inside of each one of us tells us that. Even if we don't understand the gospel message, we know that, you know, because you ask anybody, how do you get to heaven? Well, you do good. You do the best you can and just hope it's good enough to get into heaven. That's what people think. So we all know that it takes goodness to get into heaven, or righteousness, if you want to call it. But God didn't just freely make us righteous to save us from going to hell. That wasn't his whole purpose. But like I said, his higher purpose was that he could have a relationship with us, the one that he's always wanted, that close, personal, intimate relationship, to actually live on the inside of us, to dwell in us by his Spirit. For how long? Forever. Remember last week I said that the Holy Spirit will never leave us or forsake us. Well, the Spirit is God himself, just a different form. Some people get the idea that if Jesus was here now, you know, we have Jesus, just a different form of Jesus. He's now living in us in the Spirit, and he's just as powerful. He's just as compassionate as he was when he was in his flesh. He's in you. He will never leave you and never forsake you. So last week we looked at how the Holy Spirit was poured out and lives on the inside of each one of us. And he bears witness that we truly are the children of the Most High God. So he is the witness to the truth. He is, the Bible tells us, the Spirit of truth. And he will not only show us the truth, we said last week, but he bears witness to that truth. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12 says, you have not received the Spirit of the world, but you have received the Spirit which comes from God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. He bears witness to the things that were freely given to us of God through Jesus Christ. And you have to understand that anything that comes from God into your life, all good comes from God. God has no bad to give, but all good things are freely given. No price. Because if you try to earn them, you will never receive them. I've said that before. It's either going to be free or you will not receive. And so mainly, first and foremost, what is that which God gives freely to each and every one of us that the Holy Spirit bears witness to and convicts? He convicts us of, and that is the free gift of righteousness. That's why it's number one. He does three things, the Bible says. He convicts of sin. That's the world who doesn't know Jesus. He convicts them that they cannot be good enough to make it to heaven. Once we've received Jesus and his sacrifice that he paid for our sin, then he begins to convict you that you are now the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. So it's very important. That is one of the things that is free that he will bring to mind and bear witness of in your life. And finally, we learned that the Spirit of God who is in us, how does he bear witness to the truth? How does he bear witness to the truth? Is it just a feeling of, oh, yes? Well, sometimes it might be. But he brings what is in the Spirit truth, what is truth in the Spirit, into the natural realm, into our reality. Okay? I mean, as long as it's in the spirit realm, you can't enjoy it in the natural. So it is He, when you believe the truth and speak the truth, He brings it from the spirit world and He manifests it into the natural. That's how God created the world. He spoke, and the Holy Spirit, who was hovering over the earth was without form, darkness was upon the face of the deep. The Holy Spirit moved, and as God spoke, He brought what was in the spirit into what was in the spirit. What was the spirit? His words. What was in the heart of God? He spoke, and He brought that to pass. So that's what He does in our lives. It's not you who brings anything to pass. It's by the Spirit. So He brings the truth of the Word of God into our world, into the reality or the natural world, where we can enjoy it. I mean, what good is it if we know that by His stripes we are healed? That is a spirit, a promise in the Spirit in Christ. And we can look at that all day and admire it, and go ooh and ah. But unless we can enjoy it in this life, what good is it? What earthly good is it? Because once we leave this body, we won't need it. So all of God's promises are for today, now, not just, don't push things off for the future. What Jesus died to give us is not only for our, but it's for its now, because most of the things He died to give us are now. We don't need prosperity and money when we get to heaven. The streets are made of gold. There will be no need or lack of any kind in heaven. So let's remember that the Holy Spirit has been given to us that we might have heaven on earth, that He might bring what God has done in the Spirit, in Christ, into our reality now. So the Holy Spirit really is the beginning of it and the end of it. He is all of it. And all you and I do is believe the truth. Believe the message. What is the message? I am the righteousness of God in Christ. You know, yesterday as I was spending some time meditating on just this whole message, and of course my mind was going to, you know, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. And all of a sudden, it was like I knew what that really means. What does that really mean when you say that? When you say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ, you know, the devil trembles and he runs. But what are you really saying? You are saying, I am a child of the Most High God. I am an heir of God, a joint heir with Jesus Christ of what? The whole world. That's what you're saying when you stand in faith and repeat these words. I am a child of the Most High God. And focus on that. Think on that. You are a child birthed by God Himself. That alone just causes your faith to just soar. It's like, well, I'm a child of God. There's nothing that can come against me. So it's the message. Now, when I refer to the message and the truth, I'm talking about our righteousness that is by our faith. And last week, I ended with Galatians chapter 5, in verse 16, where the Apostle Paul was addressing the church of Galatia. And he says in verse 16, this I say then, if you have the Spirit, then walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of your flesh. Now, this whole letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to the church of Galatia is about righteousness, which is of faith. That's what he's addressing. And if you read the whole letter, you will see that the Galatian church had slipped back into the law after having heard the good news of the gospel, after having received Christ and the free gift of righteousness. Once that happened, now they were walking, or they were thinking that now righteousness comes by their efforts and their works. And the Apostle Paul was sending this letter to straighten them out and to correct them in that area. So they had slipped back under the law after receiving Christ. So Paul says in chapter 3, verse 1, oh, you foolish Galatians, In other words, anybody who gets saved by God's grace and now thinks he has to earn it after he's saved, what would the Holy Spirit say? Oh, you foolish one. Oh, you foolish Galatians. Who has bewitched you? Wow, bewitched you. That's a pretty strong word that he uses. That you should not obey or believe. Obey the truth. What is, okay, first of all, we got to believe the truth. And then we obey the truth. What does it mean to obey the truth? It means to walk in it. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? He goes on to say. Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Having begun in the Spirit. Remember last week I said to be in the Spirit is not some wee hokey pokey place. What is it to be in the Spirit? It's simply to be in Christ, to be in the truth, to receive his gift of forgiveness and the free gift of righteousness. This is how we, so to speak, get into the Spirit. We receive Jesus into us, and we are placed into him. So all born-again believers, all children of God, are in the Spirit. But walking in the Spirit is simply, don't go back to the works of your flesh now for your righteousness, but to continue in his righteousness, to continue to believe that I am the righteousness of God by faith and that it is a gift. And it's not based on what I do or don't do after I get saved. That righteousness continues. It is a gift. It'll never be taken from me. There's no, in Christianity or in our life, there's no levels of righteousness. You know, well, I didn't do very well today, so my righteousness level's here. It's down here. Tomorrow I did really good, so it's way up here. No, we are as righteous. It is an everlasting righteousness, the same righteousness that Jesus himself has. So he's addressing this issue. So to walk in the Spirit is to simply just walk every day, because your walk always is symbolic of your life, this earthly life. Walk every day believing that truth, that you are righteous by faith. That is what is walking in the Spirit. So now we've learned what it means to be in the Spirit. We've also learned what it means to walk in the Spirit and not to trust in the flesh, because the Bible says also in the book of Galatians that Christ will become of no effect to you if you begin to walk in the flesh. Why? Because the Holy Spirit cannot bring us into the greater things that God has prepared for us. Why? Because we're not in faith. So the Holy Spirit in us, you know, we talked a little bit about it last week, and I said, Jesus himself said it's expedient. It is absolutely necessary that the Spirit, that I go away. Because if I don't go, the Spirit can't come. And this Holy Spirit enters into each one of us. We don't have to go to be where Jesus is in order to experience a relationship with him. That's the amazing thing. He can be ministering to me at the same time that he's ministering to you, Lorelai. And he's over in Timbuktu ministering to somebody else. And he's in each and every one of us to the greatest measure, to the full degree. Now, he's everywhere. Jesus was limited by his earth, by his body. He couldn't be in us. He couldn't be everywhere at the same time. And so you can see, because the Spirit is Jesus. Like I said, we sometimes think that, you know, Jesus is way up here. Well, we just have his Spirit. No, Jesus is his Spirit. They're one and the same. And so we've each been given our own Jesus, so to speak. I mean, Jesus isn't in parts, but you know what I'm saying. He goes with us. He's there to help us, speak with us. So each one of us has the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. And the Holy Spirit wants to lead you more than you want to be led into a life of freedom, a life that is filled with God's blessings, a life that he is able to bring to pass through you everything, the truth, everything that Jesus Christ died to give you. That gives him great joy. great joy. We may not understand that, but his joy is in blessing us. This morning we sang those words from Restful Increase. His heart's delight is in blessing you. And when we are unable to receive what Jesus Christ died to give, that does not bring any joy to the Holy Spirit. So he's in you. He wants to bring the fullness of life into your life on the earth. In other words, he's bringing heaven down into your life. That's what he wants to do. But how do you and I know, and that's where I want to go this morning, the leading of the Spirit, the voice of the Holy Spirit. How do we know all that? How can we be sure? You know, we hear so many, I've heard so many sermons on being led by the Spirit and how the Spirit leads. And, and sometimes it's confusing because there's conflicting things that you hear. And in the end, you're not really sure. Is this God or is this me? Is this, you know, like, how do we really know? Now, I don't know, and I'm not going to pretend to know everything there is to know about how the Holy Spirit leads, because he leads each of us individually, different every time. How he causes you to receive a healing, it's funny, because as soon as you say, oh, this is what the Lord led me to do, or this is what I did, and so we take what the person did, and we make a new church out of it, or a doctrine. Oh, you've got to have your hair parted on the left, and you got to jump up and down seven times, and you got to, you know what I'm saying? But you know why? Because we love rules and regulations. Just tell me what to do, and I will do it. But don't leave me hanging here. We, in our flesh, loves lists, rules. Seven ways to obtain this. Six ways to obtain that. And so we tick off our list. This is what you do. But that's not how God leads, and that's not how the Holy Spirit leads. He leads differently, just about in every case. So how he leads you to your healing is going to be different than how he leads me. But the main thing is it's the Holy Spirit, and you need to be sensitive to him. And it's like, let's not put God in a box and say, this is how God works. You know, if you're blind, make some clay or spit in his eye. I mean, read the scriptures, even Jesus. Jesus did things differently. You know, one time he made clay, the next time he just spit in the guy's, or even spit on his mouth. Like, really? If we did that today, would that be really spiritual? You know what I'm saying? Like, let's read the scriptures. You know, so there's some things that you might be led to do, and you think, well, this can't possibly be the Holy Spirit. Can't possibly be. The Holy Spirit wouldn't, you know, surely he wouldn't lead me to do this. Be surprised what he'll lead you to do. Because his end game for you is, does anybody know where he's trying to get you to go and where he's trying to get you to be before he can really begin to work in your life? Peace and joy. Peace and joy. Romans 14, verse 17, because the Bible, we just went through Matthew 6, 33, where Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Romans 14, 17 says this, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it is righteousness, peace, and joy. Righteousness first. Until you know that you are the righteousness of God in Christ, you cannot be led by peace and joy. Now, it is very important for us to know this truth and to walk in it every day. In fact, this is the key to being led by the Spirit, to know his voice and to know his leading. I want us to turn over to Isaiah chapter 32 this morning. Let's open up our Bibles to Isaiah chapter 32, and I want to read from verse 15 to 18. Isaiah chapter 32, 15 to 18. Until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness be a fruitful field, and it will be counted for a forest, then judgment will dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness remain in the fruitful field. And the work of righteousness in this fruitful field, who's the fruitful field? You and I are. You and I are the fruitful field. And the work of righteousness will be what? Peace. And the work of righteousness. Righteousness in your life will work peace. And the effect of righteousness will be quietness and assurance forever. Does that not sound like a strong foundation? Quietness, not going to be easily swayed. You're not going to get it, you're not excitable, or you know how some people just every little thing just causes them to lose their peace. And you know, this is the effect of righteousness brings assurance, strength, confidence. And my people, verse 18, will dwell in peaceable habitations, in sure dwellings, and quiet resting places. So the work of righteousness is peace. Knowing that we are already righteous because of what Jesus Christ has done, and it is an everlasting righteousness. It's not one that we can mess up through our sin. This brings us great peace and assurance forever. Great peace. It's a peace that the world does not have. They are trying to obtain it through other means, but this peace is only given freely by our God. Assurance of what? Assurance forever. Assurance of what? That God will continue to bless us. He will continue to look after us and care for us no matter what we do or don't do. The understanding of righteousness brings great peace. And great peace, guess what, brings great joy. We're supposed to be filled with joy, joy unspeakable and full of glory. How many saints do you see walking around that are so full of joy that it's infectious? Not too many. Not too many. Usually we look very sour. There's not a lot of joy bubbling over. I love to be around people that are filled with joy. I don't know about you. And somehow we've been led to believe through the years that to be holy and spiritual, you got to put on that sour face. You don't smile, you don't laugh. It's just somber. God himself probably doesn't like to be around you. I know God loves to be around laughter and people that are making merry. Because most of the places where God shows up in the scriptures, it's party time. Party, party, party. God loves to party. And like I said before, if you don't like partying, you better start liking it this side of heaven, because once you get there, that's all that there's going to be. It's a large party. And where God is going to just be enjoying us, enjoying life. God enjoys it when you enjoy life. He rejoices over you, the Bible says. He rejoices. He delights in having a life of enjoyment. Jesus didn't just die to give us life. In other words, save us from hell. He gave us life that we might have and enjoy life and have life in abundance. Life isn't just barely get by and, you know, hopefully get through this life. I mean, some people have the idea that, you know, like this life is just a testing time to get, and I mean, so what if life is miserable? So what? Let's just push through it, because someday in the sweet by and by, it'll all be over and we've proved ourselves that we can make it. That is so far from the heart of God. That's pride. God wants you to enjoy every day, every moment of your life. Not any less than we want our children to enjoy life. So here we see that peace comes from being established and knowing that we are the righteousness of God in Christ. And then comes great joy. So without knowing this truth, there can be no real peace. Then peace is only determined by your circumstances. If things are good in your life, you have peace. But bless God, when things turn, your peace is gone. And that will tell us, tell our hearts, we're not established in righteousness. Because this is not a peace that comes from the outside in. It comes from the inside out. Once you have believed, and you now begin to continue to walk in the truth that you are the righteousness by faith in God, then true peace begins to arise in our hearts, in our minds. And where there is that peace, we will also have joy. Now, Let's take the word peace. We know that peace in the Hebrew is shalom. And peace actually means to be sound, whole, complete in mind, body, and estate. Right? That's what shalom means. So it's peace in your mind, in your body, and in all of everything that you own. So, but what does it mean? Let's break it down a little bit. What does peace mean to me? What does peace mean to you? You know, the real definition of real peace is really, I see it as freedom. Freedom. Freedom in your body from all sickness, disease. Freedom from the curse. You know, Jesus Christ died, took our sin to set us free from the pain, the punishment, all of that. Freedom. Freedom to choose. Freedom. I think there's so many of us in this room and around the world that don't understand the freedom we've been given in Christ. And it's that freedom that gives you that peace. There's no more obligation. There's nothing I need to do or have to do. Everything now from this point on after I receive Jesus Christ will be my choice. I am free to choose. God's not going to condemn me. He's not going to be angry with me if I choose maybe something that isn't right. Do you understand? It is freedom. And until we are free, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Freedom. To be led by the Spirit, you have to first of all be free. You have to be free. So this peace is really, it really sets you free. It's a freedom that you and I have. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 54. Now, Isaiah 54 is right after Isaiah 53. And what does Isaiah 53 give us? What does it tell us all about? It tells us all about Jesus Christ and all that he endured on the cross. Now, verse 5 says this, that the chastisement or the punishment that was needful for your peace and mine was upon Jesus, by whose stripes we are healed. So Jesus endured the punishment and the pain and everything that our sins deserved. Why? So that we could be free from all of this punishment and enjoy peace. You see, peace is freedom. Peace is freedom. Freedom from all sin, freedom from all pain, freedom from every curse that includes sickness, disease, poverty. We're free. That brings peace. Remember Jesus said, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world give I unto you. In the world you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome them. I have deprived it of all power. In other words, you are free from all that the enemy is going to bring against you. And that is the peace of God. That is a definition that we need to understand. And then Isaiah 54 describes this peace, this freedom. It begins in verse 1 and it says, sing. First word, sing, O barren, you who did not bear. Break forth into singing. Cry aloud. What is that a picture of? Someone who's filled with joy. You don't sing unless you're joyous. Cry aloud for joy. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch forth. Lengthen your stakes. All talking about get big. Have a bigger vision. Think big thoughts. For you're going to break forth on the right and on the left. This is all what happens when peace hits you. When this freedom hits you. Fear not, for your maker is now your husband. Remember I said last week that we were married to Mr. Law? He was a hard taskmaker. Well, you know what? We died. And now we're married to another, the Lord. And he has provided everything for us. Verse 8 and 9 says, for a moment I hid my face from you, but with everlasting kindness I will have mercy on you. For this is as the waters of Noah, as I swore that the water of Noah would no more flood the earth or go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with you, nor rebuke thee. Verse 10, this covenant of peace will never be removed. We cannot fail. God has made a way, a fail-proof way for us. And then it drops down and says, whoever comes against you shall condemn. And verse 17, it gets better. No weapon formed against you will prosper. It does not say there's not going to be any weapons formed. It says none will prosper. This is the heritage. This is our inheritance of God, of God's children. And our righteousness is of him. All because of our righteousness that is of Jesus Christ. So this peace that I'm talking about here, that the Holy Spirit leads you by, is really freedom from every evil and every curse. Psalm 85, 7 and 8 says this. Psalm 85, 7 and 8. Here King David says, show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant unto us thy salvation. Verse 8, I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints, but let them not turn again to folly. In other words, don't turn again and trust in the works or in the law or in the works of your flesh. God always leads and speaks with peace and joy. Always. When you come together at any time and you hear the word of the living God, or supposedly, and you leave that place and you have great peace and joy, you know you've heard from the Lord. You've heard the truth. But if you leave feeling beat down and your joy is gone, you feel bad, condemned, you know that you have not heard from the Lord. God always, it doesn't say sometimes, always speaks peace, freedom, wholeness, health, healing, whatever it is you need. That's what God speaks. And God always leads by peace and joy. And, you know, we have been so, I believe, in the past, very misled, and because we've misunderstood the leading of the Spirit. We associate his leading with statements like, the Lord led me to do that. And it was something that you had to, it's always leading us into something that's going to be painful. Something that we have to give up in order to obtain a blessing from God. Oh, the Lord led me to, I've heard people say, oh, well, you know, the Lord led me to give up watching TV. And bless God, since then, I've just been a powerhouse for the Lord. Somehow we get the idea that when you're led by the Spirit, it's give up, give up, give up, give up. It's like the preaching on John chapter 15, I am the vine, you are the branches, and God prunes us. Well, with most plants, pruning involves pulling away all the leaves. And sometimes we get the idea that if we really allow the Holy Spirit to work in us and through us, there is going to be nothing left in our life. We won't have anything to do and to enjoy anymore. He's just going to take everything from us. Nothing could be further from the truth. God leads with peace and joy. And so there's times where he'll instruct you or give you, you know, you just have, I'd like to do that. I enjoy that. Now, it might not be a spiritual thing, but that's how he leads, because at the end of the day, the most important thing is that you continue to be at peace on the inside and to have the joy of the Lord. That is the greatest testimony any Christian can have, is to continually be at peace and be filled with joy. You know, like I say, don't be deceived. People say, oh, you know, the Spirit, you know, he led me to pray 12 hours a day. The Spirit, where is there peace and joy in that? Now, don't get me wrong. There's going to be times, what I'm saying is the Lord does not lead you into something that is not your desire. Never. Because then it becomes a work of the flesh. And you know, the flesh feels good after you pray 12 hours a day. But it wasn't, that was not of the Spirit. It's your flesh that's getting all the glory. Well, bless God, I've been led by the Spirit to do this and led by the Spirit to do that. So we have to be careful what we hear on being led by the Spirit. God doesn't lead you into a place of misery. He doesn't. He wants you to be happy. His leading is so subtle. God is so wise. Even a parent, you know, maybe is trying to lead their child, but they use a means that the child isn't even unaware of it, that the parent is even leading them. You know, they may ask for something that you know is not good for them at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and they may want a sucker or something. And you know, as a parent, you don't rip it out of their hand and spank them. No, a lot of times all you have to do is put something in their other hand, something that is good. And they'll forget about the sucker and walk away, and there was no harm done. You used wisdom in dealing with your child. God does the same thing with us. He really does. He doesn't use the methods that we think he does. So the Holy Spirit always leads peace and joy. God does not lead us by giving us rules and regulations. No, that's what we got under the law. That's what the devil wants us to believe. The devil wants us to believe that that's how God leads us. God has set us free to choose. Because if that's how the Holy Spirit led us, we wouldn't be free to choose, would we? Because if that's what our peace was dependent on, obeying his voice, where is their freedom? And where is there any joy in that? After a while, we would feel worn out. And many people in the church that are in ministry, that's why they get to the place where they're at. They want to just throw up their hands and give up and say, this is too hard. I don't want to do this anymore. Because they're not being led by joy and peace. They're being led by obligation and rules and laws. And it's wrong. It's wrong. The church, above all people, the church should be free and enjoying life to the full. We ought to show the world how to party, how to have a good time. I'm serious. I mean, the world looks at us like, you guys don't party. You don't have a good thought. It must be awful to be in your church. It must be awful to be in the parties you guys have. They have this. No. We ought to be showing them. So how do we get this joy and peace? Does it come from what we do? No, it comes from what we believe. Peace comes from within. If what we believe is not bringing us joy and peace, we know we're not believing the truth. It's not the truth. And the things that you and I do outwardly come from what we believe inwardly. And that's the key. The reason we're doing things outwardly is because we're still believing a lie inwardly. And the Holy Spirit works with us inwardly. His ministry is an amazing ministry. But all he's saying to you is keep yourself in the peace of God and in the joy of God. And that sets me free to completely work in your life and to bring about the changes and without you even knowing it. It'll be totally effortless. You're just enjoying life, and all of a sudden, things are starting to fall off. Now, you know, I used to enjoy watching that show. I don't enjoy it anymore. Now it's your choice. Now you're free. But you see, he has to get us to that place where we're free. He's never going to force you. And so he works. But your job is to just remain in peace and in the joy of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we need. That's what our part is. So this is how it all works. We don't just sit around and wait for God's peace and joy to knock us on the head and overwhelm us, because that's not going to happen. And then we feel, well, gee, I don't feel the peace, so I don't think God's leading me to do this. Oh, I just don't feel the peace. That's not what I'm really talking about here this morning. What I'm talking about is if you have on the inside the peace and the joy, then you will hear God's voice. You will be led by the Spirit. You won't be led by guilt or condemnation or obligation. You will be led by the Spirit. And so do you sit around and wait for this peace to hit you over the head? No. Jesus himself said to the lady when she came and she got healed. Remember the lady? And he said, now go into peace and remain whole. So you and I have to go into peace. How in the world do we go into peace? So how do we even know when we're in peace? If you've never had peace, how do you know when you have the absence of it? So we're sitting around and waiting for this peace to hit us. Do you even know when it hits you what it is? No, Jesus says you go into peace. How do we go in and remain? Let's go back to Isaiah. We went to Isaiah 53, tells us what Jesus did at the cross for us. Isaiah 54 tells us the blessings that have been released to us through the cross. Is Isaiah 54, where we found that we would be established in righteousness, we'll have no fear, not be dismayed, no weapon formed against us is going to prosper. But in Isaiah 55, he tells us how to receive, how to receive peace. Verse 1, Isaiah 55, ho, everybody. In other words, hey, this is for everybody. Everybody that thirsts, come to the water. You that have no money, come, buy, eat. Yeah, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Now, we know that the only thing free in this life is what comes from God, God's blessings. And God is saying, hey, you guys, whoa, you guys that are thirsty, come on in, come on in. Eat, drink, whatever you need. Freely, without money, without price. You don't got to earn it. You don't got to be good to deserve it. It's yours. So all are invited to come to God to receive all of his blessings. Why? Because Jesus Christ paid the price at that cross for all to enjoy, to have and enjoy his blessings. So here the invitation opens up in Isaiah 55. Come on, you guys. Come on in and eat and drink freely. So just knowing that you and I can come and partake freely, that in itself brings joy and peace. Just knowing that I don't have to try to get into God's good graces, that I just have to come. Just come to him. Jesus said in John chapter 16, verses 23 and 24, in that day you will ask me nothing. In other words, you don't need me to pray for you, or you don't need to ask or go through me. In that day, verily, verily, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he's going to give it to you. Up until now, he says to his disciples, you've asked me nothing. You've asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive that your joy may be full. That your joy may be full. So if we go back to Isaiah 55:2, he says, why do you spend money for that which is not bread? Or your labor for that which doesn't satisfy. In other words, why are you looking for peace in all the wrong places? Or why are you trying to buy it? It's free. You can't buy peace. If you think you can buy peace, you know, maybe a trip to the Bahamas where you lay on the beach for a week, that's buying peace. It's like, oh, it's just peace. But you know what? You can lay on that ocean and be not at peace at all, and your mind is back at work or back on your problems, and you know the only thing that's at peace is maybe your body, but your mind sure ain't. And if your mind ain't at rest, nothing else is either. Peace is important at all times. Keep the peace. That's what the Bible teaches us. You have no idea how important it is. Keep that peace. So he goes on to say, why do you spend your money on things that aren't bread? In other words, they're not going to satisfy you, or your labor. Why do you work for that which doesn't give you any satisfaction? Hearken diligently to me. Hearken diligently to me and eat that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in what? Fatness. The word fatness actually means abundance. When you are abundantly supplied in your soul's realm, in your spirit, guess what? it begins, abundance begins on the inside, and then it is manifested on the outside. If you can't have it on the, if you don't see it on the inside, you cannot see it on the outside. Incline your ear. Give me your ear. Come unto me and hear, and your soul will live. Seek ye the Lord while he is may be found. For as the rain comes down from heaven and the snow, it doesn't return again, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth that it may give, or makes it bring forth and bud that it might give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Now that's the beginning stage, is your seed, and your bread is your harvest. And so the whole process is one. I mean, it's one thing that has the whole process. It's the word, the word, the word, the word. Right? Isn't that what he's talking about? So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It will not return empty unto me, but it will accomplish and prosper in the thing where I sent it. It's God's word. His promises. His free gifts because of Christ that bring peace into our lives. That's what we need to hearken to listen to. It is your supply. It is your supply. Come and hear about the wonderful things Jesus Christ did for you. That's what brings real peace. That's what establishes us in joy. And you keep on hearing, 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 hearing until the joy of the Lord hits you and you have to do nothing but dance around and sing and shout for joy. It's God's word that brings peace. It's his word that we need to feed on every day. The truth. Not just any word, but I'm talking about the truth about what Jesus Christ has done. Isaiah 53 is the truth. Isaiah 54 tells us the blessings that we've received from that truth, or because of that truth. And Isaiah 55 tells us how we can receive the blessings into our lives. Let's continue. And then, once we have rejoiced our hearts in the Word, because our hearts need to be rejoiced. Have you ever read the Word? And all of a sudden something just jumps out at you and your heart just soars. It just rejoices. So you need to rejoice your heart every day in the Word. Read those words that bring peace and joy into your heart. Keep them in front of your eyes. Never let them depart out of your mouth and out of your heart. Once you have rejoiced your heart in his word, then verse 12 says this of that same chapter, for then you will go out with joy and you will be led forth with what? Peace. And everything around you will break forth into singing. All of creation groans until the manifestation of the sons of God be known. They're waiting for you and I. The world, the nature, is waiting for you and I to be revealed. And so when you are filled with peace and joy and you walk outside, it says the nature itself is going to break forth into joy. The trees are going to clap their hands. The flowers are going to get brighter. Wow. And instead of the thorn will come up the fir tree. Now I'm reading for verse 13. And instead of the briar will come up the myrtle tree. So what is symbolic of thorns and briars? The curse. Everything that's dried up, the curse. These are symbolic for the curse. And the myrtle tree is symbolic for the blessing. And so is the fir tree. So what it's saying is when you are led with peace and joy, the curse cannot alight. The curse cannot come upon you when your heart is singing with joy and you're walking in peace. So how does that all come? How do I just sum this all up? And what am I really saying this morning is that first and foremost, We want to hear the voice of God. We want to hear the leading, because there's many times we're faced with making decisions in our lives, or we've got questions and we're not really sure. You know, is this my voice or is this the voice of the Holy Spirit? But I've found in my own life that whatever it takes for you and me to keep our hearts at rest and in the peace and the joy of the Lord in us, it is when we're in that place that we become way more sensitive to the Holy Spirit. That's why praying in the Spirit helps us to be more sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leading. You know why? Because this is the rest. This is the quiet. When you're praying in the Spirit, you are actually praying out the mysteries of God, the truths of God, and your heart is being filled at the same time with peace. This is the resting place. This is the rest, praying in the Spirit. And all of a sudden, you feel the peace of God. You just sense peace. All your anxieties are, you know, your heart rate slows down, and you're just like, oh, okay. And it's there in that place that you will hear. You are more apt to hear God's direction and God's leading. You don't, you know, what we're trying to do is hear God's voice, and then we're going to have peace. But until we hear God's voice, we're agitated because we don't know what to do. But you got to understand, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not yours. God's way is, first of all, enter into the peace, and then you will hear me speak. The reason we can't hear God's voice and we're not that sensitive to it is because we're so agitated. When you're not at rest, your mind is really not at rest. And you're so focused on the problem that you can't seem to hear his voice. You're so focused on making the right decision that he's speaking, but you're not hearing. And so your only responsibility is to remain, to enter into the peace and remain there. And enjoy life. Do the things that bring enjoyment to your life. Enjoy life. Enjoy your children. Enjoy. If you have a favorite TV program, enjoy it. Give thanks for it. If you enjoy a certain food, enjoy it. You know, God has given us richly all things to enjoy. Be free. Enjoy life. Don't put yourself under a law that says, oh, I can't have that, and I can't have that. That's not joy. That's not what our Father wants for us. He wants us to be free in every area of life to have and enjoy all the wonderful things that this life has to offer. Amen? How many of us have learned something this morning? Praise God. This peace is for all of us. And I don't know about you, but there's not a day that goes by that we don't have to enter into that peace every morning. Just remind ourselves of the blessings and all of the wonderful things of God. Let's close in prayer. Father, we just thank you.